There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. This is Talking of Books with Isabel Abuhul, Annabelle Corton, and the rest of the team, only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Hello, welcome back to Talking of Books. I'm Annabelle Corton. With me in the studio, my dazzling co-host, David McAdam. We also have a guest lurking. He's shaking his head. Why are you shaking your head? Just accept the praise.
Well, thank you very much. That's a wonderful introduction.
So Aya Salam is in the studio. She's going to be lurking while we give you some hot gossip from the book world. She'll be reviewing Together by Julie Cohen. Do you want to say hi?
Hi.
Hi. We'll be back in a sec. Don't worry.
Yeah.
So we want to find out what's going on around town in the arts and culture scene.
Book news, your latest literary roundup.
First up is something quite exciting because it involves my favourite thing, which is free food, or winning a three-course lunch, rather. So on Wednesday, the 27th of September, from 12:30 to 3 p.m, the World Trade Club is hosting a ladies' lunch in combination with a double book launch for April Hardy, who's a romantic comedy author. Now, her latest book's being launched, Hazard at the 19th, and also children's author Diane Boehm's second book, The Little Girl in the Moon, The Big Idea. So if you'd like a chance to win a wonderful lunch on the 27th of September, just text lunch and your name to 4001 for a chance to win. We'll announce the winners at the end of the show. In terms of the Emirates Literature Foundation, there is a festival book club coming up this week on Wednesday, the 20th of September, from 7:30 to 9 p.m. Now, we've just had the Man Booker list announced, David, and we were talking about that earlier. So Kamala Shamsie's Home Fire was on the long list, and she hasn't made it to the short list, but we're still talking about that book on Wednesday. Now, if you don't know whether this would interest you, if you don't know whether you should pick up a copy of the book, here is her giving a brief reading, the very beginning of her novel, so there's no spoilers. Sounds really good. Have a look. Listen.
So all you need to know, actually, because it's not instantly obvious, is that this is at London's Heathrow Airport. Isma was going to miss her flight. The ticket wouldn't be refunded because the airline took no responsibility for passengers who arrived at the airport 3 hours ahead of the departure time and were escorted into an interrogation room. She had expected the interrogation, but not the hours of waiting that would precede it, nor that it would feel so humiliating to have the contents of her suitcase inspected. She'd made sure not to pack anything that would invite comment or questions. No Quran, no family pictures, no books on her area of academic interest. But even so, the officer took hold of every item of Isma's clothing and ran it between her thumb and fingers, not so much searching for hidden pockets as judging the quality of the material. Finally, she reached for the designer-labeled down jacket Isma had folded over a chair back when she entered and held it up, one hand pinching each shoulder. "This isn't yours," she said, and Isma was sure she didn't mean because it's at least a size too large for you, but rather, it's too nice for someone like you.
Oh, burn. It's too nice for someone like you. Does that sound like something that you'd like to read, Aya?
Well, I wouldn't know. I mean, I'm more of a person that is like, that likes reading stuff like slices of life and stuff that are not really sadistic and
this is great. I call this gritty.
I would call it quite pointed, I think.
Yeah. and topically relevant.
Very true.
If that sounds like something that you'd like to have a chat about, that the book club is meeting on the 20th of September, 7:30 p.m. And there's more details on the Elf Dubai website as well. But what else is going on, David? I think there's something coming up at the end of the month that's book relevant.
Woman in Black, is that what you're referring, or what is it that you're thinking book relevant?
I'm thinking The Woman in Black, because I didn't know the stage show is coming back. And I don't know when it's coming back. I think it's coming back at the end of September. But I didn't realize that it was based on a book. Did you?
No, I didn't, but I was just looking at it now, and for the movie version, Daniel Radcliffe was playing one of the leads on it, so I'd be very interested to see what the stage play would be like here.
It comes back quite frequently, I think. They always seem to have it back. It's one of the most popular stage productions that's ever been put on. And it's
at the new Opera House in Dubai.
Is it? Oh, wow. I'm not sure whether it is, actually.
We'll check that, yeah.
In international book news, US publishers' audio sales are up 29% this year. And I think this is really interesting because the fact that audiobooks are so popular, I think sometimes we forget that. Do you read audiobooks, Aya?
Oh, I do. But I read them in French or, like, Japanese or something.
Someone's fancy. Japanese? That's
oh, yeah.
Do you speak Japanese?
Yeah. A little bit. Okay, learned it when I was a kid, yeah.
And the book of the week that we talked about last week, I mean, we're talking about Julie Cohen's Together today, but last week we talked about something called The Mitford Murders by Jessica Fellows, and that featured a real unsolved murder. So it was based on the real unsolved murder of Florence Nightingale's goddaughter on a train in 1920. And we're all pretty excited in the office because we reviewed this book, and at the time we said this is definitely going to be made into a TV series. And if you think that Jessica Fellows is the niece of Julian Fellows, who created Downton Abbey, we're thinking, okay, this is definitely going to be made into kind of a historical period drama. And they announced it, so it's been optioned by the producers of The Crown. It's going to be made into a series. So yeah, I recommend you read the book The Mitford Murders if you want to read it before the series comes out. It sounds like it's going to be quite a while. There's no release date as yet.
Annabelle, just going back to The Women in Black, coming at the September the 26th until Monday, October the 2nd. It's basically at the Medina Jumeirah Theater, not the opera.
Okay. Well, there's plenty going on at the opera anyway, so yeah. The Woman in Black, I mean, if you're interested in that sort of thing, go down, check it out. I will not be going because I am terrified of absolutely everything, so I won't be going to see that. But now it's time for something a bit different.
And now for something completely different.
So what are we reading today, Aya?
We're reviewing Together by Julie Cohen. And I must say, I mean, this book is very, at the beginning I was very thrilled, and I was like, I was, you know, reading page by page, and I was really enthused about the whole thing. And then by the end of the chapters and all these sections of the book, by the time I reached last chapter, I was very disappointed.
But the problem is, we can't actually... If we tell you why I is disappointed, it will give the entire thing away, which is the whole point of reading the book.
Exactly.
So if I give you an idea, if I read you the main synopsis of the book or the blurb. So the idea is that this is Together by Julie Cohen. And the back of the book reads, is this a great love story or is this a story about great love? You decide. On a morning that seems just like any other, Robbie wakes in his bed, his wife Emily asleep beside him as always. He rises and dresses, makes his coffee, feeds his dogs, just as he usually would. But then he leaves Emily a letter and does something that will break her heart. As the years wind back all the way to 1962, Robbie's actions become clearer as we discover the story of a couple with a terrible secret, one they will do absolutely anything to protect. And that secret is one that we're going to have to skirt around today.
Yeah, we'll probably have to be very, 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 very secretive about it. But then I think it's worth the shock, and it's worth thinking about, really. Even when they find out everything about the book is very... really squeezes your mind, really makes you think, like, what possibly can I be open-minded enough to be able to accept everything for the sake of love, if everything is acceptable in the name of love? And this is something that I have mixed feelings about. I do not think, I can love a Lamborghini. It doesn't mean I can steal the Lamborghini because I love it. And this is not in the name of love I can do anything. So in my point of view, this was the problem with the book. It's that everything was justified in the name of love. And I really didn't...
And you disagreed.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not really into that stuff at all whatsoever. I don't think so. There's a line. I mean, there has to be a line somewhere where there is stuff that are logical and stuff that you can't really... do anything and justify it because, you know, I love something. I can do it. Well, I can be, I love being president. Doesn't mean I can, you know, go and rule a country because I want to and just knock out whoever the person is there because I love doing something, you know?
So what about if you have a couple in a normal relationship that you'd call normal in certain ways, and they loved being together and being apart, they didn't love that, and they got back together, and then just for the two of them, it was something that was very, very special. And I think that when you look at the book from that perspective, it's very heartwarming, and it's also very sad at the end in the last chapter, as we got to. But on the other side of it, I was pleased for the characters in the book because they were able to share that love.
That is very true. I mean, to the extent of the way it was written, the way the romance of the story, that how it was set, and how Julie wrote the book itself, it was spectacular. The way she organized everything, I thought was amazing, and how it made me connect with the characters was spectacular.
So for somebody who hasn't read this, how is it structured? I mean, I understood it to be, so it starts from about 2016 and works backwards. So it's not correct. One of those novels that jumps back and forth, is
it? Oh, no, no. It goes from 2016 down to the 1960s when the couple first met. And they, instead of really building the character, I felt like they were peeling off the character as you go and simplifying the character and see how it was structured, how the character was structured from their early 20s till they're like, you know, 70s and 80s of age. And that was spectacular for me. It was fascinating how someone can write so well.
I did think it was very well written. Mm-hmm. I thought that it wasn't a page turner the same way I found Woolly to be, mm-hmm. That kept your interest going, but I found it to be a very romantic in a very light way, novel to read, which I found interesting and a good way to spend, say, 3-4 hours that it took to read it.
Yeah.
More on this surprising love story told backwards when we return.
Book of the Week, what you should be reading. From Shakespeare to Tolstoy, Stephen King to Danielle Steele, this is Talking of Books on Dubai Eye 103.8. Now, back to the team.
Welcome back to Talking of Books with me, David McAdam, and Annabelle Corton.
Book of the Week, what you should be reading.
And we are talking about Together by Julie Cohen. We're joined in the studio by Aya Salam, who's our lead reviewer today for Book of the Week. Hey! So we were just talking about the structure of this novel, the fact that it works its way from 2016 all the way back to 1962 in a fairly linear fashion. So it doesn't jump backwards and forwards, which is what, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of used to in most novels like this. Mm. So that's my question for you. I mean, the structure of the novel, is it set apart from your traditional love story? I mean, is this familiar to you, the way that she's written this?
Actually, no. I mean, I'm not a person that really reads a lot of love stories. But other than that, the fact that she was able to convey a love story so clearly from... as we go backwards in time is a very challenging thing to do, and I believe when it comes to love stories, especially, and talking about events and eventually reaching to the final surprising event of this book. But I feel like she mastered the time travel perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What did you feel about this?
Yeah, no, I felt it. I thought that the author had done a great job. I think that Julie Cohen had... She'd really thought about it, and I think when I read a little bit more about it, she actually wrote the book first the way you'd think chronologically, and then she rewrote it again, taking it apart but having it sort of in reverse chronological order. And I thought that it was quite brilliant the way she had done it, because it kept you wondering about, well, what happened to that character? How did he or she arrive? Why are they there? And who was in the middle, and what really happened. So it, as you say, you peel back the layers like almost like an onion, and there's more and more and more to it all the way through.
Yeah, I felt that when I was reading this, that I was reading something that the cover, that I didn't expect from the cover. I think a big problem with a lot of books in this genre, I mean, I'm not actually sure whether I would class this as a romance novel, is the marketing for it. I mean, the cover does not look as... It touches on some dark themes, and I don't think the cover does it justice. It deals with Alzheimer's and dementia at the beginning because Robbie's memory is failing.
Correct.
And that is a big problem because with his memory failing, he's going to perhaps divulge the secret that they absolutely can't share, which is very frustrating as a reader because you just want them to kind of get on with it. I mean, did you think that that worked, keeping the secret to the very end of the book, or did it just get a little bit tedious where you're thinking, okay, come on now?
Well, I agree. Yeah. When you set that question up like that, I think that if you gave away the secret in the first chapter, then there's no reason to read the other 250 pages. So I think you're right. But on the other side of it, I really enjoyed the imagery that was portrayed in sort of the northeast of the U.S. and having visited there. I mean, she absolutely nailed it. And the kinds of people who lived in Florida and also the other areas in the eastern U.S. seaboard, it really captured all of those scents. I mean, the smells, the talk, the lifestyle.
The weather,
exactly. All of those things that were going on. And I personally found that a lovely escapism.
Yeah, that's something that we haven't actually talked about yet is the setting, and because it's set initially in Maine, that's where they live, and it jet sets around quite a lot. So, like you were saying, they go to Florida, they go over to England as well, and she does that quite well. And I don't know about you, but I felt that when I was reading the book, I was very much sucked into the story, and I wasn't paying much attention to the language that she was using, which generally means that the author's doing a good job of telling a story and not distracting you with clumsy prose.
It just made me feel like I was actually there. Every time she would change the way people speak and the way people talk in the book, their accents are in her writing, and which made me feel like I was there. I was part of what she's describing, aside from how she perfectly nailed every sort of visual part of where she or where the character were. But then again, the way they spoke really got to me. And other than that, I feel like she also made me sympathize with the characters before she actually gave the ending. She really made me sympathize with them.
But you have to do that. I think she had to make a conscious decision to do that because of what the secret is. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry if this is annoying people because you're like, well, what is the secret? Yeah. But because of what it is, you know, you have to be able to empathize with the characters before it's revealed. So it's absolutely necessary to do that.
Yeah, I also felt like I always felt like I could connect to Emily, because I'm the eldest myself. Emily is the main character. She was Robbie's wife, and I always connected to her because she was the eldest. She had a younger sister that looked up to her, and I've always been the person that, you know, my siblings would look up to, so they had a lot of pressure of being like, you know, I had to be the best. I had to be the best at everything and do things correctly. And I feel like this was something that was prominent in Emily's personality throughout the book. And as I went through, it was like more prominent as we went back in time. And I feel like she lost that once at the beginning. I felt like she was freed from the idea of being forced to do something she wasn't really fascinated or really interested in. And she was, to an extent, free. And I felt that at the beginning of the book. And I watched how she was forced to camouflage or change or hide as I went down the book, down the chapters of the book. Yeah.
I also found it interesting reading about interactions among family members. And I think that part for me was interesting, talking about Emily's parents and how they were reacting and how all of the different characters in the book reacted, the children and how they reacted and how they became and built up who they were. I found it interesting that it wasn't always their relationship perhaps wasn't as perfect as you might read about in the first chapter. Yeah. And there's a lot of trials and tribulations and pain and suffering as you go through that's just pretty standard family stuff. But the way it was written, I found it to be quite compelling read.
She did handle family drama very well, I thought, and conflict in general. Here's her actually talking about conflict and how to handle it if you're trying to be a writer yourself.
In women's fiction, it's very important to differentiate between external conflict, which is all the stuff, you know, about your mother-in-law and, you know, the not being able to have a baby or the bombs or the guns or the car chases or the bad guy or the other woman and all of that sort of thing. And internal conflict, which is the conflict that's inside your character and which is what really drives the story. The things that really matter to your character and that they have to overcome in order to get their happy ever after. And this exercise was to help you create internal conflict in your character. That is, to give your character a good quality that is part and parcel of their greatest flaw at the same time. So you look at a good quality of your character, and then you look at the direct other side of that same quality, which is their worst flaw, because they won't want to get rid of their flaw. They'll want to get rid of their flaw, sorry, but in order to do that, they have to question what makes them good. And that leads to a lot of conflict within your character where they're trying to find the balance. And actually, in real life, you can find a lot of people who are like this, who you like them for one thing, but that thing in another context just drives you crazy, and in ourselves. And we're talking about Snape in Harry Potter, for example, who has this two sides of the same coin. His tragic flaw is the same thing as his best point.
So yeah, that's Julie Cohen talking about conflict, and we're talking about her book Together, which is the latest book that she has written. And we were talking about how conflict is something that she's handled very well, and I think from everything that she was saying about it, it's clear to see why. The driving force behind this book, and I think why the main reason it is successful, whatever you think of the secret that you find out at the end, you know, the terrible dark secret, she has handled it better than anyone else I've ever seen try to handle this. She's handled it delicately. The conflict is a strong one, and I don't feel like she's weakened it with extra side plots or side conflicts. I feel like it's very much, this is what we're talking about. This is the resolution that we're going for. This is the book that you're going to read. And I liked that because I think lately I've read a few books that were trying to do too much. And she has one objective, and I think that she achieves it, whatever you think of the outcome.
I think the main idea of the book, which she justifies throughout the book, is that she really wants to bring back impossible love, like how you would read it in a history book, things that is considered taboo. And she picked a secret based on something that any person from whatever country would think that, oh, this is a red line. No, we can't do this. No, this can't work. So I feel like she was trying to reach out for everyone and bring back the concept of impossible love in her book, basically. Yeah, I feel like this was...
Impossible love, yes, yeah. But also a love that was realized. And I think that is the happy, sad part about it.
I mean... Honestly,
you're really frustrated by this,
very,
aren't
you? Oh God, very. I mean, I try to keep it in, but honestly, and anybody who would read this book, they think it's perfect. Maybe there is hope in romance. I wasn't really a person that was fascinated by romantic novels in general. But then I wouldn't call it romantic to begin with. But I like the spark of romance that was sprinkled every now and then between the pages.
Yeah, I'm glad you talked about that, because this is definitely not a book that I would call fluffy in any way.
Exactly.
I thought that it was a very strong contemporary novel. Again, going back to the whole marketing book cover thing, it frustrates me that the book cover looks quite twee when I really don't think it's a twee book. And this drives me insane. I think there are so many worthy books out there that are just being done such a disservice by the covers.
I mean, birds. I mean, they need like a purple / black cover and some sort of...
Well, you need to talk to their marketing team.
Yeah, two hands reaching for each other or something, you know, something dramatic on the covers.
Did this remind you of anything that you'd read before? I've got thoughtful faces.
Nothing comes to mind immediately for me.
It was one of a kind, honestly, because
it's a subject matter. The love is amazing.
In terms of the love story, though, between Robbie and Emily, the secret aside, the character dynamic, until you find out what that is, I mean, they've got suggested further reading at the back of the book, and she's done it quite cleverly. So they've got suggested further reading in terms of structure and then the epic love story. And I want to know whether you agree with these. So we've got, for the structure, One Day by David Nichols, The Time Traveler's Wife by Audrey Niffenegger, which is my favorite author name in the world, House of Leaves by Mark Z. Danielewski, The Versions of Us by Laura Barnett, The Summer of Impossible Things by Rowan Coleman, Life After Life by Kate Atkinson. And then for the epic love story, you've got, you know, The Notebook by Nicholas Sparks, The Light Between Oceans, Me Before You by Dodo Moyes, Persuasion by Jane Austen, etc., etc. So I don't know how far you agree with those suggestions.
Some of these books really touch or mirror what I was talking about, which is basically Impossible Love, when we talk about like Romeo and Juliet, The Notebook. They all touch on impossible love and the idea of, oh, maybe it can happen or maybe it cannot, they can't be together and all.
We're going to pick back up on that idea when we come back with our final verdict. Stay with us.
From Shakespeare to Tolstoy, Stephen King to Danielle Steele, this is Talking of Books on Dubai Eye 103.8. Now, back to the team.
Welcome back to Talking of Books with host Annabelle Quarton and myself, David McAdam.
With us in the studio as well, we have our star reviewer. See, I'm bigging you up here. Aya Salam. We're reviewing or giving our final verdict on Together by Julie Cohen. I recommend this for a beach read today if anybody's going to the beach. I think it's a great beach read.
Yeah, if anything, I read this book on the beach. It was, I mean, I went and I was done with my classes in the morning and then I decided I'm going to go to the beach and then I took this book and I started reading into it. And, I mean, the cover looks very beachy to begin with, so yeah. But more than anything, I mean, I love music, and I love anything that is related to music, and I love that she used music in this book to write this book. She uses this background as a sort of like a hypnosis to keep her mind thinking about the book and her train of thoughts never leaving her. And I always found that very successful, even with learning different languages as well, putting music at the back or even programming. It was something that I found very helpful. So yeah, it really fascinated me that she uses that technique to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, there's a Q&A with the author at the end of the book, and she's talking exactly about this, and one of the questions is, how important is music to you, and what was it about these albums in particular that inspired you? And she says, I always listen to music as I write, usually the same songs over and over again. Hearing the songs puts me into the world of the book. With this book, though, it became much more obsessive and focused on two pieces. And she mentions the Goldberg Variations, which is something that crops up in the book. Mm-hmm. And also Carrie and Lowell by Sufjan Stevens is an incredible album. So I love it when authors share the kind of rituals behind their writing.
Yeah.
And I think that's becoming something that's more and more popular. If you go onto authors' websites, I mean, there was one that I went on recently for a children's author called Abby Elphinstone, and she lists all the music, like the playlist that she's played to come up with her writing. Hmm. And there are even books that are coming out where they've got a suggested playlist for while you are reading the book to give it atmosphere. Wow. Which I can imagine would be kind of creepy for something like Stephen King's It. But if you'd like to read a copy of Together by Julie Cohen, all you have to do, and it's really easy, is text in to 4001 with your name and the word together. Now, this is your last chance for all the competitions, so I'm going to remind you of a few. If you'd like to win a copy of Woolly by Ben Mezrich, just type into your phone or on the Messenger app to 4001 with your name what creature we are trying to resurrect that has previously been extinct. The clue is in the name. So final thoughts on Together by Julie Cohen. I mean, what are we feeling out of 5 star rating? Yeah, you've got to go first, Aya, sorry.
But Okay.
Half stars are allowed.
Okay, so I would say perfect writing, perfect love story, just because of the last chapter. I'll give it a 3.5. Because of the last chapter, it ruined it for me.
Okay, David?
Well, I enjoyed the read, but I just took it for what it was, which was a light read, but it was interesting in terms of the love story that went on.
Yeah.
But I agree, there are some frustrations in the last chapter. I totally acknowledge that. The way it was written and the way that she was so diligent about putting it all together, I would give her a 4 out of 5.
I would give her a 4 as well, but for slightly different reasons. I mean, we've talked about the fact that you found the ending frustrating, mm-hmm. but I didn't.
Oh.
Because I am actually really tired of reading. I mean, I guessed what the ending was. Mm. That was my only frustration, was the fact that I kind of saw it coming a mile off. But I'm glad that she wrote it, because I'm tired of reading the same old thing. And I think she's incredibly brave to broach a subject like that and make you think about it in an interesting
yes.
way.
Yes.
And I always like going away from books questioning, you know, the way I think about the world, and she made me do that. The only thing is, I'm not going to remember the characters at all, really. I don't know what it was. I think that she did a fantastic job with the writing. I can't actually find fault in anything that she did, but yeah. the characters didn't stay with me at all. Mm. And I didn't feel the way I felt about, say, you know, David Nichols' One Day. I don't know if mm-hmm. either of you have read that. But
yeah.
the two main characters in that book,
definitely,
again, can't spoil it, but when certain things happen in that book, you know, you end up crying. I remember how I felt about that. Like, I felt like they were people that could walk through the door. I didn't feel that Robbie and Emily were two characters that could walk through my front door. And unless I feel that way about a book, I can't really connect with
yeah.
it, you know?
I mean, for me, I mean, it was just that I didn't sympathize at the end. I mean, I sympathized till the very end, and then it just all went away with me. But again, this is really objective. For me, it was just a point of view. People might think differently once they read the Secret. It really is my personal opinion at the end of the day. People might think of it in a totally different light. I mean, so yeah, it really is up to them to read and see how they think of the book and how the love story really develops.
So yeah, I recommend it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very quick read. It's a great beat read. It is something different, and I always like to recommend something a little bit different. So yeah, Julie Cohen's Together. That's our book of the week this week.
Yep.
Yeah. So have you read anything else that you'd like to recommend?
I like anything by Mitch Albom. I love all of his books.
Yes, wonderful. I've always enjoyed all of his books as well.
They were a slice of life. They were to the point. They were small. And they had all the information that can change your life in a day. Not less than a day. Like, in the time necessary for you to finish the book, say 30 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours tops, based on how large his books are. And it was always life-changing for me, really. All of his books were amazing.
But I've never actually read a Mitch Albom book. I mean, if you're just if you're just starting, like, which one do you pick up? Because I see him in every single bookshop.
Tuesdays
with Maury. That's an amazing
one. Yeah, I would start with Tuesdays
with Maury.
But
what is it about, though? Who's Maury? Why
well,
Tuesdays?
Go ahead. I could tell you what it's about. A man who's dying, and about how he views the world outside of where he is, and what he has enjoyed and what he will miss from this life.
Yeah. There are basically small life lessons, and every chapter talks about a life lesson until the day he passes away. So it's to the point, and it has so many ideas batched up in one book, and it's so enthusiastic at the same time, and it's so thrilling. I loved it.
It's a kind of book that you could keep reading again and again and again.
Yes, definitely.
There's another book that I was reading recently, and it's kind of a funny book for anyone to read, but I quite enjoyed it. It's called Jack, the biography of Jack Nicholson, and it's by John Parker. And it was written some time ago, 2007 or 2008, but I never realized, I knew not a lot about Jack Nicholson, but I know who he is. I think all of us do. But then this, it's a story about his life and where he came from and what caused him to be, and he's 80 now, what caused him to be who he was when he was going through all of his acting and his successes and his Oscars and all the rest. What I found truly interesting was this. Everyone believes that you're an overnight success when you create, in this case, he starred in this movie called The Shining, and he was suddenly a great actor, and this guy has been overnight, he's this hero. But when I was reading the book, he was literally in 200 plus movies before he made The Shining. And other actors of his same league, so there's Robert Redford and some of the other guys, Warren Beatty and a few others of his contemporaries, they had only made a handful of movies. Mm-hmm. But Jack had made 200, and they're low-budget movies, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But the fact that he was able to pull it all together and learn, and suddenly there he was making all these movies, but he had had all this practice, and that's what made him who he was.
I totally agree.
I've just had a text message come in saying please repeat the quiz questions. So if you'd like to win a copy of Woolly by Ben Mezrich, please text in the name of the creature that was extinct that they are trying to revive in the book with your name to 4001. If you'd like to win a copy of the book we were talking about just now called Together by Julie Cohen, literally just text in Together with your name to 4001. And if you'd like to win lunch, which I think is always a great choice, just text lunch to 4001 for a chance to win ladies' lunch at the Trade Center on the 27th of September. Now, I actually have a book that I really want to share with you if we have a couple of minutes for me to do this. Now, this landed on my desk, so I occasionally get random books from publishers show up on my desk, and this one really caught my eye. Now, it's not out yet. It's out on the 19th of September. So you heard it here first. The Trade, My Journey into the Labyrinth of Political Kidnapping. Now, this is completely different to everything we've been talking about today, but it sounds absolutely fantastic. So just to give you an idea, the blurb on the back says, in 2014, Geer van Dijk travelled to Afghanistan to try to discover the motives behind a kidnapping that had occurred 6 years earlier, his own. He was haunted by questions about why he was taken and why he was released, and troubled by the refusal of his friends, employers, and government employees to offer him a full account of what they knew. So yeah, that's the story on my bedside table at the moment, The Trade, My Journey into the Labyrinth of Political Kidnapping.
And does it sound fact or fiction? What do you say, Annabelle?
Fact.
Wonderful.
Well, I would totally read that.
It just sounds great. I mean,
my type of genre.
Yeah, it just sounds like the kind of thing I absolutely want to know about. And the author spent time in Afghanistan and Pakistan as a reporter for the New York Times and CBS News, and as director of Friends of Afghanistan. And so he's written two other books as well. So, I mean, there's a lot to sink your teeth into there. Very different to Together by Julie Cohen.
Oh, yeah.
I would think so.
I would definitely think so, too.
Last chance to get your quiz questions in. You have about 1 minute left before we close that off. But we've had so many text messages come in. One that I didn't manage to get to earlier was really lovely. Oh, I don't seem to be able to find it. But more when we come back on Talking Books. Thank you so much, Aya, for coming in to talk about Together by Julie Cohen. Absolute pleasure.
From Agatha Christie to Jeffrey Archer, we've got it covered. Talking of Books, here on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Welcome back to Talking of Books with the host, Annabelle Corton, and myself, the co-host, David McAdam.
Now it's time for something which I absolutely adore, and this is Literary Soundtrack. So basically, we pick a song that's based on a work of literature every single week. And this is because I was absolutely surprised by the number of songs that are based on poetry, literature in general. I mean, just the other day we were talking about the fact that Katy Perry's Firework is based on Jack Kerouac's On the Road, which is an unlikely association I never thought I'd come across. And the most obvious one that people tend to come up with is Kate Bush's Wuthering Heights. Can you think of any off the top of your head? Is this something that's ever crossed your mind?
About music and...
Music based on books.
I think I have, but right now I can't think of any that really strike me that way.
Well, it might not surprise you to know that we're going in the Roald Dahl direction today, seeing as we were having a belated birthday party for him this morning. And before we do that, now we're going to do Gene Wilder's Pure Imagination. And I ummed and ahed about this because there have been so many covers of this song. It's been covered by Maroon 5, kind of you know, some people hate it. It's a bit like Marmite. Some people love it. Some people hate that cover. But I decided to stick with Gene Wilder because his version is much loved. Now, on the subject of Gene Wilder, who unfortunately passed away very recently, there was a letter that he wrote to the producers of the film Charlie and the Chocolate Factory years and years ago. And it kind of highlights how much he was involved in the process in creating the character. He was very much involved in designing the Willy Wonka that you see on the screen. And just to highlight that, this is an excerpt of a letter that he sent to the director. And he said, because the costume came back and he really wasn't happy with it, and he said that Willy Wonka isn't supposed to be silly, he's supposed to be eccentric. And this is what he said. He said, "I don't think of Willy as an eccentric who holds onto his 1912 dandy Sunday suit and wears it in 1970, but rather as just an eccentric, where there's no telling what he'll do or where he ever found his getup, except that it strangely fits him. Part of this world, part of another. A vain man who knows colours that suit him, yet with all the oddity, has strangely good taste. Something mysterious, yet undefined." Now, that's something that definitely comes across when he sings Pure Imagination. Have you seen the film?
Pure Imagination?
No, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, yes, I have, and I enjoyed it very much.
Have you seen the Tim Burton version?
No, I have not.
Okay, because I was going to ask you which one you preferred.
And you? Which do you prefer?
Oh, the original.
The original.
Yeah, I feel like the Tim Burton one is a little bit missing the point. But I'm probably going to get lots of angry text messages now from people who absolutely love the Tim Burton version. So yeah, we've talked about Woolly Mammoths today. We've had a celebration for Roald Dahl's birthday. We've talked about Neverwhere by Neil Gaiman. We've done a picture book called Not Now, Bernard by David McKee, which Rachel Hamilton wants to take to a desert island, which I think is rather funny. And we have also talked about Together by Julie Cohen and many other wonderful books. And on that note, it's time to say goodbye from me, Annabelle Corton, and to hand over to David to announce the competition winners.
Thank you, Annabelle, and thank you for inviting me here today. It's been a pleasure to be part of your team as a co-host. And the winners today, first of all, the text was Roald Dahl, that's the answer. And the winner is Laxmi. The second one was the name of the extinct creature they are trying to revive, and of course that's the woolly mammoth, and the winner of that was Venus, is Venus. The text to 4001 for the ladies lunch, the answer is lunch, and the winner is Elisa. And the text for Together, the answer is Together, and the winner of that book is Janice. So to claim your prizes, we will be in touch with you at the mobile phone numbers that you have left with all of us.
Thanks so much for texting in. And here's Gene Wilder with Pure Imagination.
Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three.
Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look. And you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation. Want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it, want to change the world, there's nothing to it. No life I know to compare with pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be. you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it. Want to change the world? There's nothing to it. I know to compare with your imagination, living there, you'll be free if you truly.
This is Talking of Books, here on Dubai Eye 103.8.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.